Yeah, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us on SEN 1170 AM Sydney, SENQ 693 in Brizzy, SEN 1620 on the Gold Coast and across the network, wherever you tuned in via the app. Good morning to you, Matthew Johns.
Matthew White, how are you?
I'm good. I always worry when I hear Matthew. That's why I threw it at you first. It's normally a magistrate saying that to me. How was your weekend, mate?
Matty, my weekend was good. I must say, straight from the top, I've got to tip my hat to all the players over the course of the weekend for being able to play in those conditions. I was sitting, honestly, watching that game yesterday. I half suspected, leading into the match, they might have postponed. For those players, like, I'm sitting watching them out in the middle. It was almost 40 degrees. Mm. It was just incredible. And of course, there were errors and stuff like that. But first and foremost, the effort they put in and the style of football, it really was pretty remarkable.
It was. And I want to tap into that a little bit deeper about, does the game need a bit of a rethink? I mean, we can't control what the weather's doing at this time of the year, but we can certainly control how they go about it. The text line and call line, both open for business, 0457 736 736, or give us a call, 1300 01 1170. Our best caller this morning on that number will win a Signet Boost power bank. So big crowds, Matty, massive hits, 5 of the 8 matches decided by 4 points or less. But what does need a rethink? We've touched there on the extreme heat. Also want to know, do you think the 10-minute sin bin needs a rethink, especially given what happened with Jackson Hastings and the 15-minute HIA? So Sinbin was in long before head injury assessments came in, yet the two don't marry up time-wise.
Look, Matty, as far as I do not understand the 15-minute HIA. If you walk in there and the independent doctor assesses you and says, okay, look, you're fine to go, just go straight back in, out there. It's unnecessary. I can't get my head around it. I don't know why. They might say, the doctor needs to take time. But surely if they get them in there and says, you're absolutely fine, we've heard on the other side of caution, look, get back out there. Mate, if it's 3 minutes, just get back out there. If it takes 20, it takes 20 minutes. But I cannot get my head around why they need to sit on the sideline for an additional 10 minutes. And as far as the sin bins, Matty, I agree. I think I've said for a couple of years they should bring back an option for the 5-minute sin bin. Mm. 10 minutes, boy, it takes a piece out of a side.
It does. And this is the interesting thing about the HIA, 15 minutes. I mean, unless they're going to pull back the HIA, Matty, to 10, then nothing's ever going to marry up. Now, you can't have a sin bin that's specific for an incident that causes an HIA, because the two just never really marry up, do they? So is the game sort of out of step with itself here? And what do they need to look at? Obviously, you think the HIA timing could be looked at, or do we look at a 15 or a 5 or a 10 plus a 5? How do you work it out?
Oh, I think first and foremost, they're just going to work out with the HIA. And look, I can understand here that there's a few cracks in the system simply because we're reacting to what we learn, Matty. And that's, like, I think it's better to react and maybe get it slightly wrong than to sit on their hands and say, oh, we'll just wait to the end of the season. But I think now it's clear that we've got a little bit of problem with the 15 minutes. As I said before, if the doctor in there gives the player the all clear, he should be able to just go straight back into the contest. He shouldn't have to just sit on his hands for 15 minutes because, we all agree to err on the side of caution. That's a given. But the player, if we're going to err on the side of caution, on the slight chance he might be concussed, and he shouldn't have to sit in the sideline for 15 minutes.
0457 736 736. If you'd like to have your say about that on the text line, 1300 01 1170. On the roundup this morning, some of the issues in front of us. Broncos v Dolphins, already a great rivalry, but they haven't even played. So we'll have a look at how that's going to play out. Roosters v South, the fallout of the feud. We've got a new segment for you, Matty, Without Notice, What They Said and What They Mean. So we're going to play, Matty, some audio from the major players on the weekend. You'll hear what they said, coaches, major players, etc. But what did they really mean? So we'll try and unravel that. Who was the biggest loser and the biggest winner from round 3? I've narrowed it down to 2 losers and two winners. The big hits in the opening rounds, what do they mean in terms of the context of the game itself and the crackdown that started back in Magic Round 2021? Are we seeing a change in tackling techniques? We'll also touch on our Coach of the Year points and Matty's rapid fire round four tips. So let's start with the rivalry, mate. Broncos v Dolphins, yet to play a game, but this crosstown rivalry is a mouth-watering prospect. This is the reason why they didn't want him in round one. They knew that in round one the Dolphins were going to generate their own noise anyway, and it's played out perfectly, both 0-3, 3-0.
Look, the punt they've taken, Matty, has worked perfectly, because the danger in this is the Dolphins could have been 0-3. And it would have been a lot of hype around it, but it's nothing compared to what we've got coming up on Friday night. Matty, I'm sitting there, and look, people in Brisbane will be saying, "Oh, mate, listen to this imbecile from Newcastle. How would he know?" But I'd like to know from people in Brisbane. I mean, is this one of the biggest games in Brisbane rugby league history? I mean, there's been some massive ones. Of course, State of Origin, the first ever State of Origin, some of the great origins over the years and whatnot. But I tell you what, the hype around this, the storyline going into it, and the fact that amongst it all, the Broncos' biggest icon, the demigod of Brisbane, Wayne Bennett, is coaching the side just down the road. And you just know this week, Matty, is that he will just put the screws on the Broncos. Even for us, we won't quite understand what he is doing sometimes with little comments he'll make, but it'll be aimed at Kevy. And it'll be aimed at the Broncos organisation, and you can guarantee it'll get under their skin. If I was Kevy Walters, I would be staying away from reading any media whatsoever or anything that Wayne's got to say. I would remind myself at the start of the week that this, at the end of the day, is only a game. Don't take anything personal, because this is what Wayne's bringing at. I've seen him do it with great coaches over the years, from Brian Smith to Craig Bellamy. We saw him do it to Anthony Seibold when he moved to Brisbane. He just got the knack of getting underneath the opposition coach's skin and affecting their focus.
Yeah, it's an interesting point on both fronts, I reckon. For our Brisbane listeners especially, those that were around back in 1988 when the Broncos came in, do you think this is bigger than when the Bronx played their first game at the old Lang Park against Manly back then? Do you think this is a bigger entree, if you like, Broncos v Dolphins and now the crosstown rivalry? I reckon Kevy's smart enough to sit this one out. Like you say, Wiley Wayne's going to do his Wiley Wayne tricks, but you reckon Kevy's been around and knows that he's smart enough to, okay, take your advice here and sit it out. But Wayne will want to draw the players and the playbook into the equation as well. So how do the Dolphins players, who may not be as switched on in the playbook of what Wayne's going to offer up this week, how do they avoid getting caught in the trap?
Well, I don't think he will hide the Dolphins players away at all. I actually think that Wayne will collect every article that says that Broncos are going to win this football game, how good are the Broncos going. Wayne will even fabricate things and pass them on to some of his favourite people in the media, and there'll be all sorts of stuff that will be around building his side as the underdog. Suddenly we're looking at this game now and we're saying, oh, you know, the Broncos are travelling so well, it's going to take a big thing from the Dolphins. The way that Wayne works, by the time that Friday hits, he will have convinced his side that every single person in Australia gives them no chance whatsoever. He will just build that underdog mentality. And for the Dolphins players, I think the Dolphins players will immerse themselves in the excitement on it. Matty, going into big games like this, it is a luxury being the underdog. I think the pressure in this game is on the Brisbane Broncos trying to hold their fortress while, you know, you've got the new club, the Invaders, coming in and trying to take over.
On a broader sense, we've got a new crosstown rivalry, and we've already seen across the weekend, obviously, the latest chapter in the book of feuds, Roosters v South. So when you look at Broncos v Dolphins, crosstown rivals, Roosters v South, crosstown rivals, the feuds, all of that stuff, is this, you think, what the future of expansion could be based on? I mean, it's all very good to go up towards Papua New Guinea and the Pacifica, but the league knows that crosstown rivalries work.
Yes, it does, Matty, but, I mean, do you see... I don't see another team in North Queensland. I see a Pacifica side based in a place like Cairns, but playing their home games in Papua New Guinea. But I don't know where other market, what other market you would build a crosstown rivalry. At the moment, the two we've got which have developed are just, they're just crackers. I mean, there's a number. I mean, you've got, coming up this week, you've got Parramatta versus Penrith. Mm. And, you know, when those big Western Sydney clubs emerge, then you get great rivalries there. The Roosters and the Rabbitohs is still number one. Every time they play, you just know something's going to happen. But, Matty, what is really interesting about the Dolphins versus Broncos is that, to use an example, when Gordy Tallis tells me that when the Cowboys beat the Broncos to win the competition in 2015, the Broncos fans went away. While so disappointed, they were happy for the Cowboys. That makes sense. The Queensland clubs and the Queensland people row in the same direction, whereas the Sydney clubs just eat each other up all the time. We are just down here a mass of warring tribes that are just always fighting against one another. Whereas up there, it's going to be interesting to see the dynamic of the Dolphins and the Broncos. Like, it was a bloke in our audience last night, and I said, mate, who you support? His wife was in a Knights jersey, and I was saying, it's great, we've still got one around. And I said to him, who do you support? And he said, Dolphins and the Broncos. And I went, well, mate, you can't do both. And he said, yeah, I'm Dolphins and Broncos. I wonder how many are out there like that. That are supporting both clubs.
Well,
I would love this rivalry to become as big as Souths and the Roosters.
Well, you know what? I mean, there might be right now, but like I said, they haven't played each other yet. They will this weekend. So we're talking about a rivalry that hasn't started. Perhaps party lines are drawn once we get a result in round four. The news segment's still coming up, what they said, what they mean. Our biggest loser and biggest winners of round three. The Seagulls, they score 34 points against Parramatta. Talk about an old rivalry, especially more on historic reasons, but they almost lost the game. However, they remain unbeaten, plus our coach of the year points and the rapid fire round four tips. Be part of the show, 0457 736 736 on the text line, or 1300 01 11 70 on the open line. This is the roundup.